Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Nathaniel.
Now, the three senators' positions could not be any more different. Bernardi's known for his socially conservative views. Lanheim is a libertarian, and Anning is skewed further to the right. So what would they have in common to form this new voting bloc?
Well, that's a very good question. I noticed that when it was announced yesterday that Senator David Lanheim, as a libertarian, said that they were casting around for a name for this new grouping, and somebody suggested to be called the Holy Trinity. But he said that that just wouldn't work because none of them could work out who would be God. So, and that really is the interesting thing about this. They want to vote together as a bloc and be treated seriously, as I think one or other of them said yesterday, but they get the first phone call from the Prime Minister when it comes to negotiating legislation, not the last phone call. But the thing is, as you point out, that their ideological differences are so great, simply being broadly small-c conservative, and that's a very big ground if you want to define it that way, is not necessarily enough to get ongoing cooperation. So it may well be that they're prepared to sort of caucus to get attention, but they've got a caucus within themselves to reach agreement on positions, and you've got very strong differences of ideology, very strong differences of opinion, and I think from what we've seen of the three of them, three very strong egos. So who's going to win?
Yeah, it's all a little bit bizarre, isn't it? The trio, they've formally met to oppose new legislation that is calling for a Royal Commission investigation into the banking sector. As a broad coalition, what impending policies could they potentially choose to vote on together?
Look, I think you'd have to assume that the basic disposition of the three of them is on the small-c conservative side. So you would expect positions that focus on economic freedom, social liberty to a large extent. But then again, social liberty and social conservatism are often two different things, because Cory Bernardi, for instance, was on the no side of the same-sex marriage debate last year, and David Lanheim was very much enthusiastically for, on the basis that it wasn't the right of the role of the state to intervene in relationships between two people. So these are the types of threshold issues that the three of them have to work out. But on the other hand, if they get it right and bring a conservative-leaning bloc to the crossbench in the Senate, they actually can have quite a bit of influence, given the numbers of the Greens, of the other independents, including Senator Darren Hinch, of course. And now that the South Australian independent former Family First Senator Lucy Gachui has gone to the Liberal Party and cancelled out Cory Bernardi's defection from last year, that would give the three of them more influence. But, you know, there's only so much influence you can have if you are not united in your outlook. And that's the big question about this.
Right, yeah. Now, Bernardi's already merged his Australian Conservatives Party with Family First last year.
That's right.
Yeah, and given that this coincides with the one-year establishment of their party, how much stronger has this party become?
Well, certainly in terms of parliamentary representation, it's got defections on the ground in South Australia, former Family First state members of parliament there. It's got Cory Bernardi, as you probably saw, the former managing director of the Australian Christian Lobby, Lyle Shelton, who was front and centre during the same-sex marriage debate, has quit that job and hopes to get a Senate position in Queensland with the Conservatives. So if you look at the polls, including this week's news poll in the Australian, they've got next to no public support in terms of electoral support. So my sense with the Australian Conservatives and Cory Bernardi has always been that it's a Cory Bernardi vanity project. It's not a serious attempt at creating a political party that can become a party of government. It's more about highlighting Cory, highlighting his beliefs, and being a personal vehicle for him. But my sense is that he is very articulate and very good on television, but he's not resonating out there in voterland.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Daily this morning. We're joined by Terry Barnes, a former Howard advisor on the new coalition fronted by Australian Conservative Senator Corey Bernardi and Liberal Democrat Senator David Lanheim. Now, what does this mean to the Liberal Party, which has once been a vehicle for Bernardi and other people with right-of-centre positions?
Well, that's a good question. My sense is it would be relatively easier for the Liberal Party to deal with the three gentlemen in question, because they are to the right of centre, in various degrees and in various shades, as we've just been discussing. And in that sense, yes, they do have influence, as I said, that they have to actually come up with united positions. And my sense is the three of them will get into a room in Parliament House and argue till the cows come home, but not necessarily agree on very much at all. And in that sense, that could actually work to the Liberal Party's benefit, because many positions that emerge, the compromises may be such that, and given that it is easy to deal with people who are ideologically closer to you than Labor and the Greens, they could actually get more of their way in the Senate. But I reckon it's something that has to be seen to be believed yet, and just simply announcing they're going to work together as a bloc is not enough.
And finally, do you think we'll be seeing more voting blocs created in minor parties within the upper house in the future to counter this new caucus?
Well, I don't think so as much as it's really a formal expression of what's been going on anyway. I mean, these types of alliances are always happening informally on the Senate crossbench. And given the diverse nature of it, it can vary from issue to issue. So Darren Hinch and before Jackie Lambie could sort of go either way on particular issues or even in new ways of their own. As I think I recall Senator Hinch, when he was dealing with the Australian Building Construction Commission legislation that was the trigger of the double dissolution that got him elected. The thing I think, Nathaniel, about the Senate these days and the way that the Senate crossbench has emerged from the double dissolution in 2016 is that the government may think it had a mandate because it won in the lower house, but all those individual senators and parties like the Greens all believe they have mandates in the upper house to do what they like and block legislation when it suits them. So I don't think this is going to change things very much at all, because those three senators, as I said, got strong opinions and strong egos. And if they think they're right, they're not going to worry about what the government thinks, I think.
Right. Well, it's very interesting to see what will happen with this voting bloc. Terry, thank you so much for joining us today.
That's a pleasure, Nathaniel.
Thank you.